You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back. It is a Victory Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And it's time now for the Roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grill. Why not celebrate the Browns' 5-3 start with some of the best seafood in town? In fact, it is the best. According to the Silver Spoons Award, they've won it. Best seafood restaurant every year since opening. And that's a reputation that's been earned by serving the absolute freshest and highest quality seafood. And with a name like Blue Point, you know, oysters, they are a big deal. Over 75,000 are what every year, Matt Wilhelm?
Hand shucked.
That always makes me think of What About Bob? Did you watch What About Bob? When he's eating the corn, he's like, "Faye, is this corn hand shucked? It's so scrumptious."
I don't remember.
That's
that.
A great Bill Murray movie.
It
oh
is.
My God!
I have to see
one
it.
Of the best restaurant scenes. You should just YouTube or dinner scenes. YouTube. What About Bob? Dinner scene. He really enjoys his food. Kind of like me. That's how I am. Blue Point Grill. That's grillwithane.com for reservations. They got fresh seafood. It's flown in daily, like huge king crab legs from Alaska, succulent lobster tails from the Pacific, the Atlantic, from Maine, fresh scallops, ahi, tuna, oysters, both coasts. They got great steaks. It's a VIP experience. They'll take great care of you. Tell them CBD sent you, and they will give you an experience you won't soon forget. You can take that someone special and score some serious points. I know Kevin Jones has some designs on doing that later this weekend, folks.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
That's my spot.
He's got his beard back. He's doing well. Anyway, it is the Roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill. Joining us, as I said, Kevin Jones from ClevelandBrowns.com. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, I'll start with you. 5-3. Wasn't easy yet again on Sunday, but the Browns found a way to get it done. And here we are, 5-3 at the halfway part.
They really did. Incidentally, if I could go back to What About Bob, wasn't there a great line at the dinner table when he says, "I see no salt substitute on the table"?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Pile it high and deep with the salad. Yeah,
it was a this is the way they have to win right now. I mean, this is the way they're going to win. If they're going to win, they're going to win this way. They're going to have to, you know, it's going to be a grind, and they're all grinders right now, no matter what the record is of the team that's coming in. But because of what's happened on the offensive line and because of the lack of the running game, Jordan Cameron being out and things like that, I think it's good. You know, they have to be very, you know, opportunistic on how they score, but I don't think they're going to blow anybody out. I think this is the way they're going to win, and I think the fact that they are winning, I give them a real tip of the cap because they are being very resourceful.
Jim, I kind of disagree here because when you look at the schedule early on in the season, the Browns get up for a game against the Saints. They get up for a big game against the Steelers at home. I think
They had Alex Mack then, and let me tell you, don't underestimate what that what that piece of the puzzle missing has caused them. I mean, I have to tell you, I think they're going to play up to their competition Thursday night. But I think when that guy went down, that offensive line became a bit of a wreck.
Oh, it is a wreck, and maybe Terrence West can rescue him. Maybe Crowell will enter the fold again. This guy's gone missing on milk cartons. I want to see him play. But, Jim, to me, I think this team is going to find its stride back again. I don't think they're going to struggle every single game like they have been the last 3 weeks. I don't know if they kind of jumbled these three games together, but I think they're into November now, and I think this Bengals game is where they're really going to wake up, and Hoyer is going to play as good as he did against the Steelers, really pick apart this defense. I'm believing right now in the Browns.
I like it. He's drinking the Kool-Aid, folks. That's Kevin Jones, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. I'm more kind of on the Jim side of things, man. I'm curious to see where you stand. I just don't think the firepower is there on offense, and no longer do you have the offensive line that can completely dominate and set the tone for you. So it's a team that's going to have to manufacture points and do it with some ups and downs, but really, as you pointed out, rely on their defense, and in this week as well, rely on the special teams to put them in some favorable situations.
Matt? Definitely does, and I agree with Jim. It's like, you know, we have to be able to play these football games. And I think this football team plays to the level of their competition.
Yeah.
And I think also, too, at 5-3, the one thing that I look forward to is this team in prime time.
Yes.
You know, you talk about Urban Meyer, you know, playing those 8 o'clock games for recruiting, and the guys come up pumped up, and they want that big show. I think at 5-3 right now, with the Battle of Ohio, this team, the Dante Whitners, the Carlos Dansby's, even on a short rest, are going to be hyped up, pumped up to showcase the new Cleveland Browns on Thursday night.
I certainly hope so. And Jim, isn't it amazing that this team's 4-1 at home, 5-3 on the year, and yet there was a point in this game where the offense got booed off the field by the dog pound.
Yeah, they really did. You're right. When they had those 2-3 and outs, they in the second half, and I think people were a little, quizzical about the way the half ended. You know, when they let all the time run off the clock I definitely think that that there is. I don't think the firepower is there right now, I think it could be coming. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, it definitely could be coming. I mean, Josh Gordon's around the corner. Hopefully, Cameron can come back. I really give them a lot of credit. I really do. I look at the offense right now and the way it's going, and to think that they can manufacture the way they can. And then I look at the other side of the ball, and I think that's coming on like a freight train. I think the defense is really coming on. I just think that they, right now, they're in a little bit of a holding pattern for as long as it takes to get those two big parts of their offense back and get that offensive line straightened up. Then at that point, they may be ready to roll at that point, because they certainly do. But the good thing is they're finally closing games out. And they're finally, yesterday's game and even the game last week against the Raiders, I've seen them lose that game a lot, too many times over the years.
Yes, and that's one of the things I talked about. Mike Pettine, when he came here, said he wanted to have the toughest team on the field, but not just in a physical sense, but a mental sense. And this team has been incredibly resilient. I'd say defensively, they make the plays when they have to make them. They got the special teams play when they had to have it for the second time in this five-game stretch, one against Tennessee, obviously here again against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Brian Hoyer, he can be bad at times. He can have you scratching your head at times, but he has been as resilient as anybody on this team. Again, coming through with the big play when you needed it.
I don't condone booing at all, especially a hometown quarterback like that, but isn't it kind of a good thing that the expectations have been raised here? They know that this offense is capable of scoring 21-plus points. They want to see it. So I don't like to hear the boos, but Pettine has come in here, and Kyle Shanahan and this coaching staff, and has really raised the expectations of this fan base. So, guys, hold off on the booing, but I kind of do like that you want more.
Yeah, well, there's almost like a little home field advantage finally here.
Absolutely.
And I think it's been missing through the years. I mean, the crowd is really, they know what's going on, and they don't even need to be queued up of when to really get going. I mean, they know when it's a big third down play. They certainly know when it's a big fourth down play like it was yesterday at the end of that game. And they also know when to give the offense a little boot in the behind and get them going. But I do believe overall, I mean, there's much more of an intimidation factor for a visiting team coming in here, which is all good. Let me tell you, I mean, that's what you want. You want to be difficult to beat at home, and they suddenly have become that way. I mean, you just have this feeling they'll find a way to pull the thing out if they hit a dry spell in the game.
Even overall, do you think the Bengals are excited to play the Browns this week? Years past, maybe. I don't think they're like, all right, yes, the Browns are coming in. They're like, no, we don't know what this team really is all about.
No, you're right, and I think that's a testament to the division that we play in. Nathan mentioned earlier, every team being over 500, and I think the right now the Browns are in that fight. They used to be the lightweight fighting the heavyweights, it seemed, with the Steelers, Bengals, and Ravens, and now they're creeping their way up. They're definitely on the radar nationally, and more so than anything in the division. And I think Cincinnati is playing this football game because they have a lot to lose in giving up a division game at home to the Cleveland Browns.
Cincinnati,
I think you got to hold serve at home now in the division. You got to win at home. And I'll go back to what Brett Kiesel said, of the Steelers. I mean, when he said, hey, listen, in preparing for the second game against the Browns, but having played them on opening day, when he said, this is the best football team we've played all year. There's no question about it. Make no doubt about it. This is the best team, meaning the Browns, that we've played all year. And I would think that the Ravens walked out of Cleveland that day feeling very fortunate to have gotten out of here with a win that day. So I'm sure Cincinnati's saying, these aren't the same old Browns.
They know they aren't the same old Browns. This is a Cincinnati team that know the Browns beat them at home last year with Brian Hoyer, 17-6, went to Cincinnati without Brian Hoyer, and were up on them big early, and then a couple special teams gaffes in that game, a pick six, turn that one around. But the Browns certainly had an opportunity, and they've played Cincinnati very tough, I would say, in recent history, especially last season. So I think there's some confidence there. It is the short week. Cincinnati's banged up. Their right tackle had to leave that game. They lost Leon Hall in that game. He might not be ready to go. Giovanni Bernard might not be ready to go. So they're banged up. They're a little bit of a wounded Cincinnati Bengal team. The Jags played them tough in this one. Yeah, I think they are concerned about the Browns. Jim, the ground game still concerns me a little bit. How concerned about it are you? And do you think that it's just something that the Browns are just going to have to live with and continue to just play opportunistic defense and get points when they can?
Well, I thought, you know, Nathan, as the game went on a little bit more yesterday, they started to hit a little bit more productivity. I mean, it wasn't huge, or it wasn't, you know, they didn't bust a big run, but they were 4-yard runs, and they're, you know, they were coming up in better down and distance situations as the game went up. Now, when it started, I mean, it wasn't good at all. But I will give Kyle Shanahan his due. I mean, he stays with it. You know, in the past, when it hasn't worked early in a game, they have abandoned it completely, and then they just become one-dimensional. But I really still thought that you had to play them. You had to play the run, not necessarily fear it, but you had to play it against them. And I think it's one of these things I really do believe. I don't know if it's the backs. I tend to think the most obvious thing is it seems to be the offensive line and kind of putting it all together. But you just hope it kind of clicks back in together. I don't know if it's going to be as great as it was early in the season, but it has to be a part of their game plan, one that they make the defense honor. And I thought that they did that still at the end of the game. I mean, you know, Weston and even Tate near the end of the game started to get a little bit more room in the running game. And maybe that's the way it's going to have to be for the time being.
Because it's a short week, Matt, do you alter a strategy here, maybe come out throwing to really surprise Cincinnati since they have a lack of preparation time? Because I think maybe coming out throwing, shotgun 4 wide receivers, maybe that opens up the running game. I think you need to try something drastic to kickstart it, you know, lean back on it, but do something different to begin the game to maybe open it up.
Well, that doesn't necessarily play to Brian Hoyer's strength either, to have that, you know, that wide open offense with him sitting, you know, being a sitting duck, you know, in the pocket, making those throws that need to be accurate. But I don't necessarily think we're going to deviate much from what we saw against Tampa Bay because it is such a short week. We've talked about that. And I do think there are times in a game where I just think, you know, again, the monotony of this offense is kind of what, you know, probably more so than any, brought the rumblings of those boos, because I just think there's ways to innovate. There's ways to attack these defenses that we're playing. And again, on a short week, we need confidence. And I think you, again, as you said, Jim, we have to give Kyle Shanahan credit because Brian Hoyer can't throw for 300 yards if we deviate from the run. That's just not his strong suit. That is not opportunistic football that allows us to win a football game.
Yeah, we got to run, even if it's ineffective, to set up those bootlegs. And right now, Brian Hoyer is at his best, rolling left, throwing back across the field. Right, but Jim, one thing that struck me as I was watching that game and I was watching Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans do their thing is, my goodness, isn't it going to be great to have Gordon back, a guy who's open even when he's not open, just because you just throw it up and let him make a play. I mean, we saw that so many times in that game from the Bucs receivers.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, Nathan, I mean, you can pick apart the secondary, or you could say, where were they? And I could say to you, they were right there.
Yeah.
It was just the logistics of height versus height. You know, their height versus our guy's height, and it was a problem. I mean, it really was. So, yeah, I mean, you put Gordon in. I mean, I just think that becomes such a game changer for the Browns and such a great thing for Brian Hoyer and the Browns offense that should allow things to really open up a little bit, give them length, give them height, you know, give them the ability, give them a big target, give them a running target. And when he comes back now, I have to be honest with you, he better come back full go because this team has been good to him. And I hope he realizes that it's when he, you know, there's no getting ready period here. He needs to be ready, set, and go. And when he does come back, because they've really held serve without him. And then with him, you can only imagine if he really is full go, what he'll be able to give them.
Isn't it crazy with all the athleticism of Evans and Vincent Jackson, the Buccaneers are 1-7? I mean,
yeah.
How do you not win games throwing the football to these guys? I don't get it.
They stopped, thank God. I mean, all you had to do was, at the end of the game, they had 3 plays in a row where all they had to do is run Evans out there and throw him a back shoulder fade or just throw it up to him, and they didn't do it once. Thank goodness for that. sometimes I think people get a little too cute for their own good. Jim, we have one of the things we're doing today is hand out some game balls. If you had three game balls to hand out to the Browns, who would it be? Kevin, you as well. Matt and I will do ours later, but we'll use this to wrap up the roundtable. Brought to you by Blue Point Grill.
Well, I'm gonna give Billy Lynn one for getting back in the lineup and getting his hands on that field goal, and it kind of really shook them up, I think, the rest of the day. So I'm gonna give him one. I'm gonna give Taylor Gabriel one because it's his first touchdown and it came at an awful big time, and he also made some other nice plays. And I think that really their running game almost becomes that quick screen out to him to the outside where he gets going. Every week it seems like that gets their offense going since that running game has been plugged up. It really does. And then I'm going to give Mr. Dante Whitner a ball because I'll tell you what, I thought not only was that a brilliant play that Joe Hayden made tipping that interception to him, but it was a great run back. But I watched Whitner and Dansby really late in the game in that defensive huddle when they realized the game was on their plate. And that's the experience you need. Those guys in everybody else's ear saying, hey, listen, we are one play away from putting this thing on ice and winning this game. And I think that's so important. So for what he did, you know, in plays, but for what he did in leadership, I'm going to give Dante Whitner a game ball, too.
I like it.
Definitely agree with Whitner there. If you rewatch the game, he is everywhere in the run, in the pass. He's all over the field. I thought it was his best game. I got to give one to Terrence West for that block. You guys talked about it earlier. That touchdown pass probably doesn't happen. It was the most talked about play in the locker room. People like Paul Kruger, even defensive players were going on and on about it. My third one, I was thinking Billy Winn too, but I guess I liked what one of the callers said earlier about Christian Yount on that play. I guess it was early third quarter, got Gerald McCoy to jump. You know, I'll give him a game ball too. He deserves it. He's bounced back and he's been a good part of this team.
Gentlemen, as always, a pleasure to get the round table together, and it's always more fun, as you say, Jim, and I love your calls at the end of the games whenever the Browns win. Victory Monday, everything is just a little bit better, the round table, no different at all, and I will talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, guys, have a great day.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. This has been the round table brought to you by Blue Point Grill. It's located on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. For every Browns home game, they're open at 10 a.m. with brunch, valet parking. You can get oysters, Bloody Marys, incredible food, and like I said, valet parking so you can pregame in style, walk on down to the game, and soak it in. Take that someone special to Blue Point and score some serious points. Get the crab legs, get the steaks. That's where Kevin Jones is going to be with his flock of female followers on this Saturday, I would imagine. They got fresh seafood flown in daily. Crab legs, lobster, scallops, tuna. They've got it all, folks. So go check it out. Silver Spoons Award winner for best seafood restaurant. I love to go to Blue Point. I like to wine and dine. And when I'm there and just, you know, get some. I love the crab legs, man. That's really, if I'm going to be honest about it, when I go there, that's what I get. I get the crab legs. Have a little vino. They got a great wine list. Have a nice cocktail. It's a good place. Blue Point Grill. That's grillwithan.e.com for reservations. Matt, maybe we'll have to go out there.
For sure.
Yeah. Me and you.
We'll talk to our good friends over at Blue Point. They'll get hook us up.
We'll have a bro date.
Just me and you? Yes, we can do that too. Maybe just the cocktails.
We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford.